Welcome to the GeoMob Podcast, where we discuss geo-innovation in any and all forms, whether for fun or profit.
Welcome to yet another GeoMob Podcast. And this is slightly different because normally you get either me interviewing somebody, Ed interviewing somebody, or you get Ed and I chatting away about geo stuff and our projects and things. But today I'm going to do something a little bit different, and my guest on this podcast is Ed Freifogel, the co-founder, boss of OpenCage Data, who sponsor GeoMob, sponsor the podcast, do lots of wonderful things. And I wanted to talk to him about geo-weirdness, which in itself is a pretty weird thing. So, Ed, first of all, welcome to your own podcast.
Thanks, Stephen. Great to be here. Wonderful to finally make it on the show here as a guest.
So, Ed, talk to us about, I'm not going to ask you to introduce yourself. The audience know you better than they know me. Tell me about geo-weirdness, how it started, what it is.
Well, this is actually, I'm glad we finally got the chance to talk about this, Stephen, because this is something both that we've been doing for quite a while, but also it's quite topical because we'll get into a little bit of some of our marketing techniques on OpenCage and some of the things that are working well, but also some of the things that I'm a bit concerned about and that maybe we need to adapt going forward. So as listeners will know, OpenCage provides a geocoding API. And the problem with the geocoding API, Stephen, as a business, is that you either need it or you don't. And so if you don't need it, it's very hard for me to sell it to you. And so we're always trying to think about ways of how can we make people aware of our service before they need it. So that when the day comes that you do need it, when a new project starts, or when for whatever reason you're unhappy with your old geocoder, then you know we're top of the list, and you think about us. So the question is, how, with a very limited budget, can we make people know about us, and can we create content that, you know? So the standard thing would be like, oh, we could write some content about geocoding, and the only thing is that people don't really want to share that content. That's not particularly exciting. Okay. I mean, it can be quietly relevant for someone who's searching for, who wants to learn more about geocoding, but there, you're not going to share all that content. So then we got thinking a couple years back and we said, you know, what if we, you know, cause very often customers come to us with, a question about, you know, why is this like this or why is this like that? And it will turn out to be some weird geographic edge case, you know, of which there's almost an infinite supply. And so one time in our company Slack, we were chatting about this, and like, oh man, I forgot about, you know, look at this. So, you know, or, you know, a classic example is like, very often many countries for historical reasons have all these dependent territories. And so the question is that part of the country? Is it not part of the country? You know, which ISO code does it have? Which, all these kinds of things. And so we got chatting about some of these cases, and then we said, actually, this is actually pretty interesting content. And this was several years back, about 4 years back or so. And so then we thought, oh, we should do, you know, there was a big trend at that time to do the threads on Twitter. Which unfortunately I think is now people have gone too far with it. But so then we thought we could do some threads about geo-weirdness, about classic geographic edge cases that people, you know, are kind of aware of, but want to learn more about. And it could either be, so we started doing that. And then we kind of go in two different ways where we do a thread about a specific country, and we go through all the weird edge cases of that country, And of course, the great thing is in social media, it's also a visual medium, so you can use the maps and or maybe images and things. Or instead of just country specific, we might do it about specific topics that kind of span all countries. And so we started doing this a bit on Twitter back in the day when we still used Twitter, and it got a pretty good resonance. People would forward them or comment and engage with it, and people would start following us. Unfortunately, over time, then Twitter became insane. And also, I do think there was definitely a level of burnout on the threads on Twitter. Pretty soon, everyone was doing threads all day, every day. Anyway, then a year and a half ago or so, we, of course, participated in the great migration away from Twitter towards Mastodon. And Mastodon has been great. A lot of people are there, particularly in the developer community, which is kind of our target audience. And actually, very, very few brands are there. Very few companies have made the move to Mastodon. And so then at some point, I was like, well, maybe we should. I got worried that Twitter was going to shut down. Also, Twitter.
Just worried, or did you hope that Twitter was going
to
shut down?
To be honest, at this point, I don't care. But the issue is Twitter started getting much more restrictive about the content. It used to be someone could, if you sent someone a link to a thread, they would see the whole thread on Twitter, even if they were not a Twitter user. Okay, and now Twitter has changed that. Twitter's also changed their name to X or whatever. But now, anyway, a non-registered user will not see the content unless they'll only see the first tweet. They don't see they're prompted to log in. And I said, well, that I'm really kind of worried we're gonna. We're no longer active on Twitter. Maybe inactive accounts get deleted, or Twitter closes down, or whatever. And we're going to lose all this great content that we've built up over the year. So because I'd been doing like maybe one of these geo weirdness threads a week or so. So then I said, let's transfer that content to Mastodon, and I'll start week by week reposting these threads on Mastodon. Of course, sometimes adding new threads as things come up, or refining, you know, kind of adapting the threads. Because very often I would post the threads, and we would have, let's say, 8, 9, 10 interesting points about a country, and someone would say, "Oh, you forgot about this, or you forgot about that."
Yeah.
And so actually, it was always very fun because I would actually learn quite a bit. And so then we moved it to Mastodon, and I started reposting the threads, but also adding the new content and freshening it up. So now we've been doing that. And then we also had the idea of we would have a page on our blog where we list all the threads. So that people can find them. You know, now I don't know how many we have, but it must be 50 or 60 different threads that we have. Yep. We try to do one a week. Usually geo weirdness. Occasionally we also do what we call geo education, which is where we talk about some sort of geospatial technology, or it could also just be a feature of our service about, you know, trying to explain the background of why we do things the way we do them. Those actually resonate as well, but I think the reason they resonate is because usually we do maybe one geo education thread a month. If we tried to just always only talk about ourselves, you know, I don't think that's that compelling to people. And frankly, it's not that we have that much content. But so we mix it up. We do, let's say, 2 or 3 geo weirdness threads a week. Maybe one a month. And then we do one geoeducation thread. And then there is another thing we should talk about, which is on the final Friday of the month, we usually play what we call geotrivia, Friday geotrivia.
Which is sort of geo-weirdness, but where you ask the question and people online.
Yeah, it's a bit different in that, first of all, it's played live. So I post a question, or we post a question. It's not a a single one answer question. So it's not, you know, what is the capital of Uganda or something like that, which there's one definitive correct answer to. But it's more a question where, you know, name types of countries that have this attribute, name countries that have this attribute or that attribute. And that way, a lot of people get a chance to answer.
Right. So give me an example of some geo-weirdness threads. Just the kind of things.
Okay, so the geo-weirdness threads, I mean, we have many about different countries. And now we've expanded it also because to also just do regions. So for example, a great one that you would be familiar with is this London. We talked about all the complexity of London. I mean, London, because it's historically evolved over literally millennia, has a lot of weird things. I mean, it starts even with the fact that you have this thing called London, but that does not include the city of London. Okay, so I mean, it gets weirder from there. And of course, it's the boundaries have changed all the time, and I remember actually when I lived in London, very often you would go to online forums that would demand that I put in my my county, I think was the correct. I may be getting the term wrong. And basically, I would have to end up selecting this thing called Middlesex, which hasn't existed for 30 or 40 years or whatever. Yeah. But anyway, so you have all these kinds of weird oddities like that. I mean, the UK is a great country because we had one thread about the UK's various dependent territories and, to include, Stephen, did you know? Let me give you an example of one of the oddities. The UK has, depending on how you want to formulate it, one of only two territories that I'm aware of in the world that has no official ISO code. Ooh. Okay, so many listeners will know that the ISO code that is used for Kosovo is XK. And that's not actually a true ISO code. Okay, the X means provisional, because when a new country is created, the ISO codes are there's a committee at the UN that assigns the ISO codes. And first of all, that takes that can take a decade or whatever to happen. But because not enough countries recognize Kosovo or whatever, it has no official ISO code. But frequently, obviously, for many systems, they need an ISO code, and so they use XK, and the X means provisional. But do you know the British territory that has no ISO code?
Falkland?
The where?
The Falkland Islands.
No, the Falkland Islands has an ISO code, FK. Rather than just have dead air time, I'm going to go ahead and tell you. So we have the weird situation in Cyprus of the British overseas bases, okay, which are not part of Cyprus,
right?
Okay, but they are technically owned by the British military,
right?
Okay, it is also, by the way, another example of the only
Guantanamo. Guantanamo is the same, yes or not?
I'm sorry, I can't hear you. What did you say?
Guantanamo.
Guantanamo is part of Cuba. It is officially leased to the U.S.
Ah, so it's okay, not so, America. So
100 years ago or something, that Cuba leased it to the U.S. And the U.S. pays that lease every year. And the communist government of Cuba refuses to cash the check because they don't recognize that lease. But there's no disputing Guantanamo is legally part of Cuba. It's just the U.S. Right. leases it. Okay. So you start to see the types of very weird situations that we get into. By the way, those British bases, there are two bases in Cyprus. They are the only British territory where the euro is the legal tender.
Woo! Okay, so we get sort of what geo-weirdness is. I was going to just toss one in for you when you were talking about London, which is that it's a city where places that are south of the river are north of places that are north of the river.
Yes, sure, because the river kind of goes south, yeah, southwestward, I guess.
Anyway, so...
I mean, a classic example, a favorite, is all these sorts of exclaves and enclaves. You know, we had a whole thread about exclaves and enclaves. Very famously, of course, the place in the piece, the Belgian territory that's in fully surrounded by the Netherlands. But then you also have, you know, enclaves inside the enclaves.
Yeah.
Things like that.
Great fun. And also very relevant for geocoding.
And also what?
Very relevant for geocoding because...
Yes, it is. Of course it is very I mean, sometimes I do try to work it in, you know, either with the geo trivia or in the geo weirdness, I'll then add, you know, one message in the chain will say, you know, the reason this question came up is because of this or that. Actually, Stephen, I can tell you how this whole thing started. I now remember the exact edge case, and it was our very first ever geo trivia question, which was, okay, so our dear American customers and friends, who we value dearly, they, let's say, do not have as international an outlook as many folks in Europe, you know, because it's a big country and they're, thus they perhaps travel a bit less. And so very, very often they will send to our geocoder addresses, but not, you know, not adding the country. Okay. Which is all fine and good until you get, they'll just say a city and a state. Okay. Which is fantastic until and in the, in U.S. addresses, you use a two-letter state code, of course. Which, by the way, there are also two-letter ISO codes. Okay, and so very often, well, they'll just send us a city and a state, and not, it's very difficult for us to know, do they mean the U.S. state? So, for example, the state of Delaware, the abbreviation is DE, which is also the ISO code for Germany. Or, very famously, California, CA, which is also the ISO code for Canada. Or Israel, which is IL, which is the ISO code for Illinois. And so our software then needs to consider, do they mean that state or do they mean that country? And so in that regard, ISO codes, frankly, are not necessarily unique. And so this came up, this was the very first geotrivia question, is, you know, how many of these duplicates are there?
Right.
And it actually gets into a shockingly large number. I think it's like 13 or 14. To include some very weird permutations, Stephen. So, for example, listeners may know, I am half American, half German. And in my childhood, I grew up on a U.S. Army base in Germany. Okay, which there are still massive U.S. Army bases in Germany, but even then there were many in the 80s and 90s. And so on this U.S. Army base, we could get U.S. mail. People from the U.S. could send us mail using U.S. postal address, and it would use the state code AE, which is American Forces Europe, which is also, of course, the ISO code for the Arab Emirates. Okay. And so this is like another example of people think, you think in the U.S. there are 50 states and thus 50 state codes, but no, there are actually like 60 of these codes because you have all these weird, you know, military postal codes. Of course, you have the dependent territories. You have things like Washington, D.C. I mean, Washington, D.C. is another great example of many, this was also a geotrivia question that we had, is how many countries have a special territory or zone for their capital? And actually, okay. Quite a few do. So that's the kind of fun that we get into. And I do have to say, the threads have done very well on Mastodon. We get a lot of good feedback, a lot of people boosting them, people favoriting them, which doesn't have as much of a multiplier effect in any way, but it does. It gives us the feedback that people seem to like the content. And it's, they're fun to write. I enjoy writing them. The problem is now many of the, let's say, the low-hanging fruit has been plucked. I mean, we've kind of, so it's getting harder, I have to say, to keep coming up with, these topics, and also coming up with, particularly the geo-trivia questions. It's quite difficult to come up with good questions that are hard, but not too hard, that that someone can't just search for the answer, that are fun, that are, you know, so all of that is to say, if you haven't checked these things out, please do. Of course, we'll have links in the show notes. And please come along on the final day. It's usually in the late afternoon European time on the final Friday of the month that we play. You need a Mastodon account, and you follow us, and we post the question, and then you just kind of start answering. We have a lot of regulars. In fact, we have several. There are two or three people who consistently either win or do very well, who are people I don't know.
But they love it.
Yeah, and it just, it's a lot of fun. It's I'm not going to hide the fact that I occasionally play with the old Geo beer in my hand, Stephen, because it's late Friday afternoon. And so it's a good way to head into the weekend.
So this last Friday, which will be a few Fridays ago by the time this,
I think it'll be, this episode will come out next week. So,
it'll be a couple of weeks,
two weeks ago. Yeah.
You had, the threads have got slightly more geopolitical, I think, over the last couple of months. They're fascinating, and I love them. You know, they're one of my favorite things, but, they're becoming less just obscure geography and more interesting geopolitical facts about places and regions and history and stuff like that. I mean, I think they're great, you know, and that's not a criticism. But last Friday, you had the Euros, the European football competition, which has just started. And it was fascinating how much geopolitics and geography and country boundaries and country changes came into this football threat.
Yeah, we now have tried also to, you know, if it's easily doable, we do try to make the geo weirdness a bit topical. So if there's some major event like the European Football Championship kicking off, then you know, we try to look for a topic of that. Or actually, you know, when we've had GeoMob events, a couple months ago, we had the first GeoMob Scotland. So we, GeoMob Edinburgh in Scotland. So I did a thread about Scotland, the geo weirdness of Scotland and things like that. So the football one was interesting. I mean, there is a lot of weird stuff there. It starts with the whole issue of eligibility, you know, which players can play for which teams based on their citizenship, and because sometimes players switch countries or you know, at what point are they eligible to play for another country? Obviously, also a big issue, of course, in the UK, where you have multiple countries playing in the tournament.
And I thought I would spring on you, Ed Freifogel. I gave you 15 minutes warning, which wasn't really enough time, a little bit of a geo trivia question quiz online live about the Euros. So are you ready for this?
Well, I have one caveat on that, Stephen. I am ready and I'm excited, but let's just say that there is a reason that I host geo trivia instead of playing geo trivia.
Okay.
That is, I'm actually not that good. I mean, I have the benefit, especially in real time. I mean, I have the benefit of preparing the questions and then taking my time to research the answers. So this could end quite badly here, but I am up for the challenge. Let's do it.
I'm going to help you. So the first thing that I want you to tell me, or see whether you can guess, is which country has won the most medals? That's first, second, and winners, runners-up, and the losing semi-finalists. They sort of rate them as gold, silver, bronze. Which country's won the most medals in the Euros? This should be easy.
My instinct is to say Germany there, although I do know that Germany for many years in the 50s and 60s kind of didn't participate in the Euros. But let's go with Germany.
You're right. You're right. Do you want to have a guess at who's second?
Maybe France. I don't know. Italy, maybe. France or
no,
Italy.
No. Last try is Spain, I'll tell you.
All
I'm
right.
not
going to. Good for
okay. So, which country, including the events that are already scheduled and announced, and we're announced up to 2032, which country by 2032 will have hosted the most Euro finals?
I don't know. I mean, this year the host is Germany.
And I'll tell you, I'll give you a clue.
It's back in 88. So I don't know. Let's try France for that one.
Italy.
Okay.
Right. Okay. I'm going to give you one more question because this could go on. And this is there are a number of countries within what's defined as Europe that have never qualified for the Euro finals.
Okay.
Okay. There's about 20 of them. And which country do you think has tried, i.e. gone into the qualifying rounds, but failed to qualify the most times?
Okay. So this is interesting because obviously in Europe we have many, let's say, new countries that only kind of came into existence 30 years ago with the Eastern European, you know. So for example, let's say a country like Bosnia, that's only really existed as an entity from a footballing perspective for the last, let's say, I don't know, whatever it is, 30 years. So I don't think it's one of those countries. I think it's a country.
It's a longer.
So I think it's a smaller country.
Correct.
I'm going to guess. I do know we have these countries like Andorra and Gibraltar that are always kind of, they always try, they have a team, and then they don't, you know, obviously they have a very small population, and so it's very hard for them to have an impact.
Wait,
come on, Steve. Give me a second here.
Go.
So I'm tending towards, let's say, Andorra or maybe Faroe Islands, who are also often, they're always around. Maybe Luxembourg.
Ooh.
Is it Luxembourg? I'm going to go with Luxembourg.
Yes, it is. Just to tell you, Luxembourg. There have been 17 Euro finals since the very first event, and Luxembourg has been a competitor in the qualifiers for 16 of those finals without ever getting to the final playoffs. Just behind them are Cyprus and Malta. With 15 tries.
Well, you know, it's interesting because when we were doing the research for that football thread, and I should say at this point now, it's no longer just myself doing the research. Actually, we have documents with like 20 different topics that we are slowly building the threads for as and when we find examples. But, it's interesting. Do you know, Stephen, immediately after World War II, there's what is currently the state in Germany or of Saarland, which is right near Luxembourg. And that was actually, so Germany was divided into, you know, of course, four occupation zones. And but Saarland had a special status and was actually its own kind of independent territory, with the French hoping that it would eventually either would vote or would somehow be incorporated into France. And so, and this it was until kind of the mid-50s, I believe. And so for several years, Saarland, which is a tiny territory, tiny population, I guess roughly the same size as Luxembourg, had its own Olympic team, but also fielded its own national football team.
Wow.
And so we have these new countries, but we also have countries that have kind of gone away. And I have to say, one the main source for a lot of this content is just Wikipedia.
Yeah,
I'm one of those people who, you know, you start on topic A and you're like, oh, let me look that up, and then, you know, 3 hours later you look up and you're you know,
absolutely,
many topics removed.
And I think the interesting thing is that, you know, you take a topic like football, which your first thought is, what's that got to do with geography and a podcast about geography and maps and stuff like that? But then as you start to dig into it, you start to understand how the shape of Europe and what we call Europe has changed over, is changing all the time, you know, and there are countries that disappear and change their names and change their borders. And all of this has effects on people's lives in all sorts of ways that were never anticipated, you know. So you're getting arguments in football about where a player can be, which country he represents. You know, you had players who couldn't go and play in a competition because it was hosted in Azerbaijan and all of that sort of stuff. And it's fascinating stuff. And it's sort of that overlap of geography, politics, and everyday life, which makes these geo-weirdness threads so fascinating.
Well, this is the joy of geo, Stephen. I mean, as of course the saying goes, everything happens somewhere. So, you know, we can relate
to
any topic.
But not everybody agrees what that somewhere is called.
Quite right, Stephen. So, Stephen, you put me on the spot with the little geo trivia. So I'm gonna. Yeah, I know you're actually a much bigger football fan than I am. So I'm gonna return the favor and give you one question, but one that didn't make it into our thread. And we're gonna see if you get this. But because we started going as we were doing the research, you started getting more and more niche things, and then we just thought that we tried to keep it to kind of the national team football, but especially once you go to the club level, you get many more obscure cases. So let's see if you know this one. Which club team holds amongst their list of honors the championship of a different country, of a country they're not in? And I don't mean cases like, obviously we have cases like, you know, there are teams in Czech Republic and Slovakia that obviously won the Czechoslovakian championship, but then they split. But I mean, of a fully different country.
A fully different country. Are we talking about a separation or a split or a...
Well, you can, I mean, it depends how you view it. Yeah, you could, I guess you could call it a separation, but I don't know. It's kind of a weird anomaly.
I mean, I'm guessing if there's a Crimean football team.
Oh, that's a good example. I don't know how much football they're playing in the Crimea right now, though.
No, not Steven, right, but now, but that would now be part of a Russian league, but at some stage they could have won the Ukrainian championship, for example.
Yeah, that's kind of it. That's true.
It's not one of those, though, obviously.
Well, it's not particularly recent, I can tell you.
It's not recent. Okay. It's a border check. Is it one of those border change enclave type situations?
Well, the border did change, yes.
Yeah, okay. Are we talking Europe?
It's in Europe. It is in Europe. It's a major country. Major countries.
Oh, it's a major country.
Yeah, these are major countries for this.
So, Spanish borders haven't changed much, to my knowledge, have they? No.
No, Spanish borders have not changed in a while. I mean, within Europe.
No. Is it a German one?
This club won the German title.
Right, and they're no longer...
The club is no longer in Germany.
Okay, so... we're getting... So, it's one of the border countries, and I'm going to guess it's one of the West... I'm going to go for the Western border countries rather than the Eastern border. No! East Germany, West Germany.
Where is what?
Is it something to do with East Germany, West Germany?
No, it's. I mean, I'll just tell you rather than.
Come on, it's enough.
It's Rapid Vienna. Rapid Vienna, when, after Austria joined Germany in 1938, they then, in the following years, they won the German championship.
Wow.
And then, of course, after World War II, Austria is no longer part of Germany. But if you go to their list of honors, they have the various times they've won the Austrian championships. And then, of course, they have that they won the German championship.
That's geo-weirdness for you. Yeah, that's a good one.
Geo-weirdness for you.
Okay, so, Ed, where do people find the geo-weirdness flag?
Right. On our blog, if you go to blog.opencagedata.com, which is, of course, linked on our site, we have a column on the side of the page that lists, as a link, both to all of the geo-weirdness threads, a page that lists all the geo-weirdness threads, but also each geo-trivia game has its own page. So we have a link to a page where you can see all of those. Of course, ideally you're following us on Mastodon, so you're getting all this content, and if not, you should join us. Of course, we'll have it all linked in the show notes, and you should check out the content, and should, come along, play along on Geo Trivia. I should also say, on the Geo Trivia stuff, on the website, now we have like, I think it's like 30 plus different questions that we've asked because we've been playing for several years, and you can always see the question, but we have the answer there, but covered up. So it's not revealed. And then you click a button and then you can see the answer. So you can quiz yourself if you want to get into shape before the next match.
And if you're doing a quiz night or some kind of event and you wanted to use one of these questions or some of these questions to do a quiz, you could use them for those. But if you did, it would be really great if you mentioned Open Cage.
Yes. The whole idea is that they are, in my dream geo trivia question, there are some answers that are very obvious, but then there are some that are sort of very tricky and less obvious and weird edge cases. So in that regard, it's quite fun because people get going right away with the obvious answers, and then slowly but surely you tease out the more complex ones. So.
And sometimes they even come up with something which probably feeds back into the geocoder.
Yeah. So also, I should say, if anyone has suggestions for other topics we should cover, or also especially for geo trivia questions, I got to be honest, it's hard some months to come up with a good geo trivia question. So in that regard, I do enjoy the challenge. I mean, it's difficult also because obviously we're on a deadline. We have to have it by the final Friday of the month. And it's not always easy. So all suggestions are gladly received.
Great. Ed, I think they've turned into a fantastic, fun resource for the geo community worldwide. So thanks to you for all the time and effort you've put into them. Thanks to OpenCage for sponsoring it. Go and have a look, listeners, at the Geo Weirdness threads. Think about joining into a geo trivia quiz. It's 5 p.m. UK time, I think, on a Friday after last Friday of the month. But if you follow Open Cage, you'll you'll find an announcement on Mastodon in the run-up to the quiz telling you the exact time. Ed, been great talking to you on the podcast. Thank you for coming on the GMO podcast.
Thanks very much, Stephen. We'll talk again soon.
Take care.
Thanks for joining us today and listening to the GeoMob podcast. We hope you enjoyed the discussion. Please get in touch with us if you have any feedback or suggestions for topics we should cover. You can get the show notes over on the website, which is at thegeomob.com. And while you're there, you can sign up for our monthly mailing list where we keep you informed about upcoming events. You can also follow us on Twitter, where our handle is GeoMob. Thanks again for listening, and hope to see you at a GeoMob event soon.